I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The best part of joining patreon.com/TMS is that you won't be alone. Cameron Presley, Mark Irie, and Sam Dunn will be there too. Be like them and join today. Coming up on TMS,
we built this shitty.
You can't unsee the nipple.
They don't even total tea.
Asserting dental dominance.
Insta-coffee filters.
Tron apologist.
Big time pap.
Silverado, the Chevy truck movie?
Our fish fruit, because I like really wanted to know.
D-bag chairs.
Get your shit together, Olivia Wilde.
My humps are fine.
The heat was hot. It was a hunger.
The seeds we made were inside us all the time.
Something sometimes, occasionally, with Steven, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Somebody once said, all the really good things in life are either illegal, immoral, or fattening. Well, the Bird's Eye people proudly announce a really good thing.
How's this for an answer? Go to hell!
The Morning Stream. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, March 4th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Brian, welcome to March, sir.
It's fine. March is good. It's March. It's a brand new month. It's exciting. It's fun, and I'm ready for it.
Do we like it? Do we like March? How do we feel about March?
I like March. March, surprisingly, is Colorado's snowiest month. I'm guessing that is the same for you guys over on the other side of the...
Yeah, it is. It's weird, because... You know, there's that whole, what's that old phrase, comes in like a lion, leaves like a lamb or whatever this month. Uh-huh. And sure enough, the first couple of days of this month for us were just like this crazy windy thing. Mm-hmm. We made national news because some guy literally 7 minutes up the road from me got so many tumbleweeds in his yard, it blocked his house from the road like it was that much.
That's crazy.
And that's a weird combo of things, because yes, there are tumbleweeds out in this area, but they're rare. Yeah. You don't see them. They're just up in the hills and in the mountain foothills and stuff. But this wind was so crazy, it took any that were loose and shoved them all right into this guy's yard.
It's like Mother Nature had a giant leaf blower, and she was like, let me see how many of these get onto this guy's house.
Yeah, it did feel that way. It was really weird. He felt like a magnet or something, and ended up getting all over, like, I mean, like, I don't know why it was national news. I guess it just looked crazy enough, but it got covered on a bunch of national sources, and everybody's like, is this Utah now? And I'm like, no, it's the guy up the road now. Like, it's not, the whole state didn't get covered in
right, it's just one guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Anybody sees something on the news, and it's like they assume that everybody is experiencing it exactly the same way across the state.
Yeah. I got two kinds of direct messages this week. Stuff about the tumbleweeds, and then questions about liquor laws that apparently are changing to cap proof. The proof level of booze will have a cap of, I think, 130 and no higher. Okay. I didn't know that there was higher. So, you know, this is my, I have lack of knowledge.
130 proof would be, how is that?
That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I think it's double the percentage, right? So that means 130 would be drinking something that is 65% alcohol.
Right. Yeah.
Because you double the percentage, and that's how you get your proof.
That's how proof happens? Okay. I never knew that until you just said that. So now I've learned a little something.
So when you get like 3.2 beer, as you always do, Scott.
Always, every time.
That means that is almost 7 proof.
Wow.
Yeah.
They'll knock you out, that stuff. So, all right, yeah. Maybe I have it wrong. Okay, here it is. HB 548 is the law. That's a ubiquitous omnibus liquor law. Let's see, unanimous vote, blah, blah, blah. Goes into effect May 1st after Cox signs it. That's our governor. Governor Cox.
Governor Cox.
Yep. And let's see here. Okay, here we go. The Salt Lake Tribune, there's something for everyone in the bill, including those who produce and distribute alcohol and those who want to increase prevention and enforcement. Blah, blah, blah. So let's see. Okay. All right. Can't find the real info here except to say, oh, it's also a price hike. Well, anyway, all the things you hear about weird liquor laws in Utah, they're kind of true. They're weird. They're weird. You know, yeah. You got predominantly sort of religious bunch of people who kind of run the state, even though they're not the majority now.
Right.
They still, that's who's elected and that's who's making laws. And they're kind of teetotalers. Hell, they don't even total tea. So
did I no teetotaling or tea? Yeah,
they're water totalers is what they are. Anyway,
oh yeah, Everclear's 190 proof Everclear. So that one not happening in.
Okay, Utah. There you go then. Yeah. So there are examples of
the band Everclear not going to be touring and performing their hit Santa Monica in Utah.
That's a shame. That's a real shame, Brian.
Get live beside the ocean. And I screw up his name. I call him like Alexakis or something like that. And it's like Art Alexis or something like that.
I don't know. I've never heard that guy's name before.
Art Alexakis.
I know so few arts.
No. Who is that? Who am I thinking of?
Do you know any arts? Jeez. Any art? I mean, I know some Arthurs.
Art Alexakis. Yeah.
It is Art Alexakis.
Do I know any arts?
Yeah. Any personal relationships with the guy or the lady?
No,
for that
I don't
matter.
Think I do. Art.
I don't
even know any Arthurs, which, you know, would give me the potential for an art.
Art Vandelay. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know Art Vandelay. I don't know Art Garfunkel. I don't know Art Carney.
Nope. I know a couple Arthurs.
I don't know any Aries. You'd think that I'd know an Ari, and I don't know an Ari.
No Aries. Yeah, I only know Aries. Like famous Aries.
Yeah.
What's that new? The new Tron movie is called Aries. I don't know any Aries.
I think now we're getting into weird things that are very rarely going to be used as names.
No, you're right.
I started watching Tron Legacy, and because I know you were raving about it, and just having watched Tron, it's like, okay, now's the perfect time for me to watch Tron Legacy right after it, because I don't think I watched the original Tron right before we saw Legacy when it came out in theaters. And boy, had I forgotten how much de-aged Jeff Bridges' Uncanny Valley is in there. I thought it was brief. For some reason, I was equating it to like the little bits of Grand Moff Tarkin we got in.
shorter than it's. You think it's less than it is. It's actually a lot.
It is so much. And there's times when there's like a pair of de-aged Jeff Bridges staring your side view, talking to each other.
Yeah.
And
their mouths mostly are the problem. There's something with the mouth. And the thing is this, 2010, we're at a certain place with face tech and de-aging. Right. I get it. It's okay. But I gave that movie way too much shit back then. Mm-hmm. And I put this up on all my social media things that I think I was too harsh on it, because my rewatch the other day after Tron 82 Tron was so much. I really enjoyed it. Like, I was like, shit, this is great.
I give the look of that film a 10, and the sound and the music, of course, a 10. You can't so not give Daft Punk's soundtrack a 10.
That's so good.
I still have about 45 minutes left or maybe half an hour left, because I watched it when I woke up at 4:30 this morning and couldn't get back to sleep. I'll watch some more Tron Legacy. So far, I want to give the story maybe a 7.5 or 8.
Maybe. Yeah, it's maybe a 7. I feel the same. This is not,
Look and the music.
Yeah, which is all that kind of matters. It's like the first Tron. The first Tron story is pretty dumb, too.
It is. It totally is.
But but for its time, it's like this amazing feast for the eyes and ears and everything. Exactly. And this movie is that also. And I gave it too much shit. It's a really fun thing to watch again. And I'll say, I will say this, like, outside of the Uncanny Valley phase, which they could definitely do better now, the rest of the movie visually is arresting. It's just like, it's, man, incredible. Freaking, yeah. Were we that good back then? And I guess we were. I mean, 2010's not that long ago. It's about a year before this show started. But here's the other thing I was going to say about it, and that was this. What was it? Oh, the other thing that bugged me at the time I watched it is it was the same year, and maybe even just months apart, that Jeff Bridges was in the True Grit Coen Brothers movie. Yeah. And that threw me hard because I saw True Grit before this, and he's all, I'll tell you what, we're going to get out there and he talked like major cowboy guy, right?
Yes, right.
And then you come to this, and he's very flinny and very well-spoken. And
reserved,
just kind of,
right, exactly.
It's precise. It was hard for me to reconcile the two. But with all that distance now in time, I actually really, really enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Yeah, you still get every once in a while a Jeff Bridges thing like, that's pretty wild, man.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey, man. Well, they want to remind you that he's basically...
Oh, he took my identity disc, man.
They want to remind you that he's still basically a hippie and a rebel and a, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever his boomer generation ends up being, but...
And it's also hard for me to see Olivia Wilde in this and not think, you know, I don't know what went on between her and Sudeikis, but I got to take Ted Lasso's side. I don't know what happened, but I just automatically take Sudeikis' side.
I know. Whatever, I'm still mad at her. I'm mad at her, too. I don't even know what happened.
She was chasing after a One Direction kid.
Oh, that's right. And they're still together, I think.
Are they still together?
I
don't know.
Her and Harry Styles? I think so. Yeah, I think so. I don't know about that for sure.
I don't either.
Look, those kinds of relationships based on treachery and leaving a really cool dude like Jason Sudeikis... Mm-hmm. Those never last, okay?
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde, all right? Keep them freaking... Get your shit together, Olivia Wilde. Anyway.
Oh, Sparkle House says that they broke up. It got ugly.
Oh, did it now?
Yeah. Too bad. Should have stayed with Jason Sudeikis. Seemed like a nice, stable guy. Funny all the time.
Yeah. I think why I side with him... I know nothing about the story because of Ted Lasso.
He's like a nice guy.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And Ted Lasso, and all we have is that. We don't have any. I don't have any personal interaction with the guy.
Exactly. I don't have any other reason to like or dislike Olivia Wilde. There's no reason for me to like her or dislike her. Like, you know, she's. I think she's a very talented actress. She's very attractive. No problems with her at all. But for whatever reason, I like Sudeikis so much. It's just you hurt Sudeikis.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you?
That's right.
And also, I forgot what a amazing, brief, but wonderful Michael Sheen performance is in this.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I had completely forgotten about that when you first see him.
Yeah.
And
he's great. And that blonde walking around, I love her, dude. She's great. Whatever her name is.
Oh, the Jem?
Jem. Truly outrageous, Jem was. Truly, truly outrageous. There's a joke.
Yeah. By the way, when you first see Michael Sheen and his character, Caster, you don't, there's no, I'm going to be vague in case somebody hasn't rewatched or watched Tron Legacy yet, but you kind of know where his character is going.
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
Instantly.
Immediately. Yeah. I went, this is, I'm sure if Randy's here, he'd have a trope all up on his screen. There's a trope of this character. Oh, yes.
That's called
Moved Catwoman.
Right, exactly. Yes.
What is that called though? It's like
I'm sure there is one that
it's someone you know who's gonna go full Judas on you in the end, and you know it from the get go, and you know they shouldn't be trusted. I can't think of other characters like this though. There's others. There's some that subvert this. Like you think that.
I mean, Lando is a little bit right. This is a little Lando.
Yeah, there's some redemption with him, but you're right. There's a little Lando.
With Lando, but the first two thirds of Lando that you get are this.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way of putting that.
I've moved Catwoman.
Okay, cool. but yeah, like it's something you know immediately, but you're still relishing in his crazy performance. He's so good.
Yeah, he is so good. He's so over the top in that. It's the Sheen that I like from Good Omens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to watch season 2, which I have not done.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, a couple quick things. Yeah. I thought this would be kind of fun. We're going to talk about the worst songs ever, or at least those said by Mental Floss to be the worst songs ever.
And you know what? Mental Floss is one of my favorite sources. I used to subscribe to their magazine. I don't even know if you can still, like, I think you might still be able to get Mental Floss magazine in airport magazine shops, convenience stores.
Maybe it's, I'm looking on their site, and the closest thing they have on the header is newsletter. So maybe they've reduced it to that.
Oh, if they have, that's, see, I need to get on that list. I subscribe to their YouTube channel and watch their videos. They're great.
Yeah, these guys are awesome. So there's their list of the top. What is this? 10 of these? No, there's more than that. But we'll go maybe top 10.
20.
Is it 20? 20. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess that's the whole headline.
and the artwork, the hero artwork on the top of the page is "We Are the World," which,
yeah,
kind of, I again can't disagree with. But
it's a bad song. It's a great story.
It's a great accomplishment, and it's a great lineup. But it's a bad.
It's a bad song.
It's such pap.
I'll say it. Oh, it is big time pap.
Yeah,
it is pap. I almost said it's pap smeared all over the place, but I didn't mean to. All right. So they say at number one, and I agree with this, is "We Built This City" by Starship. I hate that song. Hate it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with "We Built This City." This is the one. This is the one of the primary reasons. I'm not even sure this is the Starship song that's in the movie, but I kiboshed our recent attempt to maybe watch Mannequin.
Yeah.
Because I hate that song so much. For me, that movie is too associated with them, and I can't do it.
Yeah, it's not "We Built This City," but it's what "Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now," I think, is from Mannequin.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Nothing's gonna stop us now. That one. Yeah.
How do you go from Jefferson Star Plane or Airplane?
Airplane, yeah.
To
how do you go from White Rabbit and Somebody to Love? And "If Only You Believe Like I Believe, Baby, Then I Believe." Yeah, such great songs. And then it's like, that great music. Let's see if we can make people forget about it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do something.
I'm with you, dude. I hate that song.
There was a unique kind of cool trivia feature of "We Built This City." So in the instrumental bit, they have this sound of a radio station talking before the lyrics come in.
Yeah.
And they would make customized versions for different markets so that when you listen to the song in Houston, for example, you heard Houston radio announcers or coming up on 5 o'clock in Houston and da 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 da. And then they kick in the the music.
Yeah.
And they did that for like a bunch of different markets.
Mm. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Each radio station or each set of stations in the same market had the same version to play.
I didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a weird time we used to live in.
It's just too bad the rest of the song is so crappy. I gave you the "We Built This Starbucks"
thing,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
Thanks for coming to the Starbucks shareholders meeting. Now we're going to do our version of a Starship song.
That was pretty good. "We Built This City" is pretty bad. Oh, I didn't even give the credit to the person who sent us this. This came from Craig in South Carolina, who says, "Dear Sarlacc and Bothan," a little Star Wars reference. I like that.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks, babe. You're the best. Sorry, my wife brought me something nice. It says, "I came across this list of 20 most annoying songs and wanted to hear your take on it. I agree with some, but there are definitely ones missing. I would put Tony Basil's Mickey up in the top, but it didn't even make the list. Love the glow blow." Craig from South Carolina.
Shove the glow blow.
So we got "My Humps" at number two, Black Eyed Peas.
And I don't think Tony Basil's Mickey, which is also a cover, by the way. I don't think that belongs anywhere near this list.
And that's the "Hey Mickey, you're so fine, yeah, blow my mind." Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think it's not as bad as
that's for what it is and what it was, it's an innocuous little cheerleader song.
Yeah.
Plus I would disagree with "My Humps." I feel like that's maybe it's the Alanis Morissette version of that song that's raised it up a little bit for me.
Right. How do I put this? I don't listen to the Black Eyed Peas like as a regular listener, and like I'm not like pulling up playlists. But comes on, I'm not switching channels. It's fine.
I'm not turning it off. I feel like Black Eyed Peas for me sits somewhere around the how I feel about Red Hot Chili Peppers' newer stuff is that it's way more style than substance. And Black Eyed Peas were kind of that all the way through their career.
That was their whole jam. Everything.
Their whole jam. Yeah.
Number three, we have "We Are the World." Mm-hmm. By USA for Africa.
I love that. I love the shot that they give you of that, by the way, with Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Here, chat. You guys got to see her, the face she's making.
Funny,
I don't know why. Everyone else looks like they're pretty chill. She's making this face. Look at this here. Oh, my gosh. She's just going, bitch. Girls just want to make faces. Calhoun,
I have not looked ahead, but the beginning of the article teases Spice Girls, so I'm prepared for it. I know it's going to be...
it's fine.
I know it's coming.
Macarena at number four by Los Del Rio.
Yeah, agreed.
1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies. Now, I would argue that 1 Week is a great song that got overplayed. That's not the same as being a bad song, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. This list does not account for that, because sometimes overplaying is the problem, not the song itself.
Correct. And this, you know what, for me, even if it was overplayed, this song doesn't belong on this list. I think it's a great song, and it reminds me of a better time when Stephen Page and Ed Robertson got along together and were able to create music together before he got bad with the drugs.
Yeah, with their drugs. Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men. I'll give this one deserves to be on the list. Freaking hate that song. At number seven, Don't Worry, Be Happy with Bobby McFerrin. You know, there's something about him and his ability to do what he did. But again, it's an overplay problem, kind of. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? Because there's real talent there.
I think a little bit of that. I think it was also that video got overplayed. You know, that feels like it was on VH1's heavy rotation. And every hour on the hour, you'd see Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah.
But I think he, you know, again, I picked up that album. I still have it right around the corner there in the media closet.
Yeah.
It's the rest of the album is so good. And there's a great cover of Drive My Car by the Beatles. There's, you know, some, and it's all, you know, it was kind of like how we kind of all got sick of the Michael Winslow thing from Police Academy, because he had a shtick, a technique. And Bobby McFerrin makes like loops, does all the voices, all the things, and multi-track recording of himself doing a cappella and making all these noises.
Yeah, he's basically doing the entire band.
I think everybody just got sick of that with this song.
Yeah.
Like, hey, did you know it's him doing all the voices?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Not my favorite thing. Number eight, we have My Heart Will Go On. Again, the biggest movie, at least at the time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to avoid hearing it or not hearing it. Like, you just have to... I don't think that one belongs on here. I don't love My Heart Will Go On by any stretch, but I don't think it's the worst song or one of the worst songs ever. Not in the top 10.
Agreed. Yeah.
Number nine, Photograph by Nickelback.
Look at this photograph.
Yeah.
Something that'll make me laugh. Sorry, Chad Kroeger. I can't argue with this one.
Yeah,
but I will give big disagree on number 10.
Yeah, number 10 is Take My Breath Away by Berlin. Disagree hard.
Yeah, that's a great song, and that one did suffer majorly from overplay. And it's not even a Berlin song. It's a Terry Nunn song that's produced by Giorgio Moroder.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, like, if you go and listen for the, there's one that's Martha Plimpton.
Martha.
Yeah, definitely not Martha Plimpton. Lead singer of the Motels. She was the first person that Giorgio Moroder tapped to do Take My Breath Away.
Oh.
And.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. And you hear her version, and it's exactly the same as the Berlin version. It's basically like, so basically, Giorgio Moroder just produced this audio track, said, place vocals here, and there's no other Berlin-ness about that song.
That's a bummer. Except,
but Terry Nunn, you know, always one of my rock and roll crushes.
Oh yeah, you can't take that away from you.
No,
that's yours forever.
Yeah.
11th, we have Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega. Yeah, okay, yep. It's fine. Yep. Probably belongs on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That one that belongs in the top 10. These are all too far down. Like the next one, Disco Duck by Rick Dees. Push that up in the top 10. What are you doing at
12? I don't know if this is in order because they started with number one. Usually you do a countdown if you're doing like the least of the worst, and then we get to the most worst. But I think this is just a bad, here's 20, put them in any order you want. But my problem with Mambo number 5 is that Lou Bega did not do anything but take an existing song, Perez Prado's Mambo. Is it just called Mambo? It's the one we played, used to play when Dunaway would come on the show.
Oh, right.
It's his intro music.
Yeah.
And he just basically put words on it, and it became a hit. And it's like that, you didn't add anything but words to an existing song.
Yeah. Man, if anything, you kind of ruined it. You know,
kind of,
Disco Duck at number 12. This is a horrible, horrible thing.
It's a horrible song.
It's so bad, you guys. Even in the era that it belonged in, it's just so bad.
Yeah.
You're Beautiful by James Blunt. Fine, whatever.
That's a perfectly fine song.
How do you feel about The Joker by the Steve Miller Band?
How is The Joker on this list and not Abracadabra? Because The Joker, I would say, is a great song.
I agree.
I would call it one of Steve Miller's best. Abracadabra is
terrible.
Hot garbage. It's like
terrible.
Give me a list of words associated with magic. Great. Now I'm going to make a song from them.
It's really annoying. I agree with you. This is just that other one. That should be on here.
Oh, mental floss. You're ruining me here.
Yep. Number 15, Wannabe by the Spice Girls. You may have heard of them. The Spice Girls.
I've heard of them. Yes.
Yeah. Overplayed is all maybe.
Overplayed. And there are far worse Spice Girl songs.
Yeah. Now I'm going to 16 confuses me because it's more of a meme than a song.
Yeah. That's the pen, apple, pineapple.
Apple pen guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play a tiny bit because I don't want to get in trouble, but let's see what we got.
B-P-A-P.
Yeah, you all know the song. Pineapple, I got a pen. Yeah. I have a pineapple, that whole thing. I know that's annoying, but that's not really like a top 40, like, hey, on the radio, spinning the hit song.
No. I mean, if you're going to count that, then you've got to count stuff like Snape, or whatever was that Harry Potter thing where it was a bunch of Harry Potter things all layered. Somebody came up with like an a cappella. Hermione.
Or they're taking the hobbits to Isengard. They're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
Right, exactly.
Like, why aren't those on this list? Give me a break. All right, number 17, The Thong Song by Sisqo. I don't know that song. I don't even
you
know.
You don't?
I probably do if I heard it, but I don't know by the
she
name.
She had dumps like a truck. Truck. Oh. Guys like what? What?
Never
what?
Mind. I hate that song. All right. That belongs on the list. That's totally fine.
It does belong on the list. Sorry, Sisqo. Yeah.
How about the Hughes Corporation with Rock the Boat? How do you like that?
I don't think that belongs on here either. That's a fine song. You know what song I heard the other day? I did like a... I was trying to figure out songs for... I guess the Connection playlist that I'm working on. And so I was like, all right, give me some 70s songs because I want to work those in. And Wars, Why Can't We Be Friends comes on.
Oh.
Why can't we be friends? So the chorus is the incredibly imaginative Why Can't We Be Friends repeated four times. And then the verses... It's almost like you're giving every member of the band War a homework assignment to go come up with a verse about why can't we be friends. Yeah. And some of them are like, you know, I see you on the welfare line, every time. It's like, all right, that's pretty good. But then you got one guy who says, sometimes I don't talk right, but yet I know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. It's like... Couldn't even come up with a word that rhymes with right. Probably one of the easiest rhyming couplets ever. That song belongs on this list, but Rock the Boat by the Hughes Corporation does not.
I agree. I agree with you. Number 19, they have Cher with
Do You Believe in Love After Love? I wonder if that's just because of the auto-tune. That was our first auto-tune deal.
It was the first mainstream one I remember.
Mainstream, yeah.
The first one I ever remember hearing, and I remember thinking... Well, that's kind of weird and cool and robotic, and maybe I like it or maybe I don't. I wasn't sure if I liked it.
Is it a worse song than If I Could Turn Back Time?
No. You know what? If I could turn back time's a worse song. You're absolutely correct.
I think so. I don't know if either of them belong on this list, but Believe is a better song than If I Could Turn Back
Time. Yeah, and Believe has some pretty great covers out there. People do pretty good versions of that. Yeah. I like it. So F off that number 19. And also, before we get to 20, what's his name should be on here with that I feel a hunger. Hunger. That should be on here.
Eddie Money, take me home tonight.
Yeah. Hey, take me home tonight. If that, why isn't that on here?
Because aside from that lyric, it's a really good song with Ronnie Spector and all that. It's like holding a horse with no name accountable just because the heat was hot and the ground was
rain. That's fair.
But you got that dumb line, the heat was hot. The heat was hot. Come on now.
I love that kind of crap.
I love it. All right. Number 20, Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy. Absolutely 100% belongs on here. And it would be one thing, you could talk me out if it was like a parody or something, but he was serious. Yeah. It was a serious, song.
This is him pursuing. You can look at that album cover and know that, the dude man is pursuing a music career with this.
Yeah. Poorly. It's just poorly. Hideous and horrible.
Rick James.
That's true.
She likes to party all the time.
Came up from his cocaine haze to do a song.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's amazing. All right. Well, there's your list. Thank you for sending that to us, Craig. That was awesome. We appreciate it.
I would put so many other ones on this list. Britney Spears. I mean, there's a lot of them are covers. Madonna's American Pie, Britney Spears' I Can't Get No Satisfaction both belong on this list.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Do you hear Jack Black doing that cover of Britney Spears's Hit Me Baby One More Time? Have you heard that?
No.
It's him and Kyle Gass, so I guess it's Tenacious D. But
is it brand new?
I heard it. It's a good question. I've only seen this in like a short or a TikTok or something where they're dancing and singing it. And it may be that it's already a track and they were just doing a fun little VO for it or a dumb video. Okay. But I'd never heard it before. It freaking cranks. It's so good.
Really? Okay. I'm going to look for that after the show. That sounds awesome.
They need to do more covers. I love their covers. Like their Wicked Game. That they do. Amazing cover of Wicked.
Oh, yeah. And they're the second half of the Beatles, Abbey Road side two with Carry That Weight and You Never Give Me Your Money.
That's so good.
In the end, like that. I don't know what I guess you call it. Abbey Road Medley is probably what it's referred to.
And that new thing, the short little, don't play video games no more. Don't play video games. I love that thing so much. Yeah. One day that'll be on a list of bad songs, but for now I love it. All right.
Still not enough to make me want to go see Panda 3 or 4 or whatever, whichever one is coming to theaters this week.
4, I think.
Kung Fu Panda 4, yeah.
I'll wait for it to come home.
Not for me, but not
gonna,
somebody else.
I'm not going to rush out there, but I'll watch it when it comes home.
Yeah, exactly.
Skadoosh. We have one final note, and then we're going to jump into the morning half asses with Dunaway. This is a quick text from an anonymous listener about dentists that says the trick with going to the dentist is to assert dominance by maintaining total eye contact while licking their fingers. I don't actually do that, of course, but every time I go, I think of doing that and almost end up choking on an instrument from trying not to laugh at the mental image. This person thinks like I do. I like this guy, whoever this is.
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, my God. And that would be the problem. Now we're both going to be thinking about this the next time we go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just see, like, they're in there digging through and working on your teeth. And you just go, close your hand on their finger or something.
Yeah, and just tickle the tip of his finger with your tongue. But you can't break eye contact, my favorite part. I love that.
That's right.
That's amazing.
I assert my dominance by eating a sleeve of Oreos right before I go to the dentist and not brushing my teeth. Not even drinking a glass of water beforehand. I want as much of that
it's a dental
dark brown cookie crust all over my.
It's like a dental version of a shit-eating grin. Is what that is. That's amazing. Yeah. I support your plan. Please do that and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
That was an 801-471-0462 number that they sent that text to. So please feel free to do that. We're going to call Dunaway and we're going to see what he's got going on. See if his brain is up to the task today. I don't know.
I don't know what people are talking about, but I know that there's money going in the pool. There's like $30, $10, $20. I don't know what they're betting on.
What are they betting on?
I don't know.
You guys going to tell us what you're betting on? Tell us what you're betting on.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, Dunaway, welcome to the show. Welcome to Half Asses. How are you?
Well, hi, Scott and Brian. It's Monday.
Yes. Hey, it's Monday. Hey, you seem real sad that Silverado's over 2 hours long.
We've had this discussion 1,000,001 times.
Yep. You're not a fan of the longer films. I get it.
Well, yeah, according to my schedule, if it's an hour and 45 minutes, fits within perfectly within the allocated block. If it goes over 2 hours, then I have to have a conversation with the family that I have to cancel certain things over the weekend to be able to fit it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what you're saying,
you know what I'll do for you, Brian, because there's easily like 45 minutes of the middle of that movie that we can just cut out. I'm going to make an edited version of that movie sent to you.
Nice.
And, you have no idea how many different ways I've tried to fit the square peg into the round hole going, well, maybe if I watch it Sunday before I can do it. Or how about if I watch it, if I watch really super fast, like in the middle parts, or, you know, during the inside incident. Yeah. Mm.
Does Netflix still let you do the watch this movie at 1.2 speed?
Or, yeah, was it, they do. It's 1.2. Yeah. I mean, yeah, even two,
I'm
two
not
times
do
or something.
That. I'm not going to sacrifice the quality of what what I'm going to deliver for that. It's just a planning thing.
Yeah. Here's the good news. We have some good news, Dunaway. The good news is that movie's great, and so you'll have a great time. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? If you don't get around to watching it, here's all you need to know: horses, cowboys, boots, guns.
Every week,
what else?
Dust.
Every week, I make it work.
Saloons. There's some saloons in there.
Swinging doors. There you go. I just, do what I do. Just watch the movie clips. It's like you get like 10 of the most important parts of the movie, and then just fake the rest. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, no way. I didn't realize that John Cleese was in this. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've got this thing where it's just like, I can't do it. I'm like, I gotta give it its due diligence. I don't feel right criticizing the movie.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
That's a true blue film sack way to look at it. But it is fun watching you go, oh, this movie is 2-point-something hours. I don't know.
That's right. That's because it goes from, hey, we got an easy week this week, to, oh, crap. Yeah. Somebody's going to be disappointed.
Travis asked if I saw the trailer for the new Costner Western. There's actually two. It's a two-parter, so they're doing one, and then 2 months later, the other half comes out. I could not be more excited.
Or
I
cannot
wait.
Watch the other hundreds that he has.
Yeah, that's true, but he's directing this and producing it. This is his first directing since Open Range, 2003 or 2, whatever it was. Amazing movie. Great Western that nobody should sleep on. Fact that he's getting back into it, I thought Open Range
was an animated film.
Hell no.
What am I thinking of?
What are you thinking of? Open Range.
There's one that's like that. Something.
Range.
What is it with the.
Range?
Home on the Range, maybe?
That can't be right.
There is
an animated 3D animated movie that's Open Season. Is that what we're thinking of? Open Season?
Open Season? Maybe. Yeah. Open Range is, Robert Duvall, Kevin Costner, freaking Jerry from ER. Bunch
Jerry.
Of other great people.
By the way, Brian, Mannequin would have only been an hour and 30 minutes.
I know, but that got turned down because apparently Scott doesn't like a song. I'm like, Jesus.
Scott doesn't like a song that's not even in the film.
That's right, damn it. That's right. Oh, Diego Luna, I forgot. He plays his character called Button.
He just wanted to skip right to dessert. He like said, screw the salad course. Give me the Silverado as quickly as you can.
I'm just saying, if you're sitting around and you're bored, Open Range rocks. And that movie's 2 hours and 19 minutes, so do not watch it, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much a given. As soon as I saw Kevin Costner, I was like, oh, shit, Kevin Costner. I said, I definitely need to go check the time run.
Well, this is early Costner. He wasn't in charge. This is a Kasdan deal, so but you're not wrong to feel that way. You see Costner, and you immediately go, okay, I've seen The Postman. That was 8 hours. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here because we're going to play this game on behalf of some people who want to win some shit. And only Brian Ibbett can explain why and how. So,
okay. Welcome to the morning. Half Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and 6 possible answers, 3 of which are correct and 3, like Spice Girls being on that list, are totally incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. 1 right gets you a point. 2 right gets you 3 points. 3 right gets you 5 points, and we'll total all those points up. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Michael Seeberger in Twin Cities, Minnesota.
Dunaway laughed at his name.
I love that name, Seeberger.
Seeberger.
I love it.
Okay.
I like any name that it could mean like two things.
Sure. The sea or the burger, or a burger that came from the sea. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Uneasy.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Francois Valerie Verstraat in Belgium.
Whoa.
Belgium, man. Belgium.
Belgium. Waffles and whatnot. Frites. Frites.
Cool. Whatnot.
All right. Well, let's get to your questions. We're going to start with number one. Going to give you six of these. You tell me which three are not in the thing.
All right.
Or we actually are going to select the ones that are. Hey, which of these are Instagram filters?
Instagram filters. What?
You've got Melita, Toaster, Kelvin, Bun, Brandon, and Hario.
Oh, I use my Instagram knowledge. I mean, I'm a super Insta. I'm an Insta model, so
Insta-man.
I don't actually need any of these, but
Most people don't. Cameras are good enough now that the reason for this existing
I thought it was getting worse because the cameras were getting better.
Well, my point is
HD makeup.
Well, that's true, but I guess that's still valuable, and also the phones do it themselves now. But back in the day when this app started, this was all about phones kind of suck, especially it was early iPhone. These cameras aren't great, so here's a place to post your shit and make it look better. And that's not even what that site is anymore. It's like a whole different thing. It's just now celebrity bullshit. Anyway, I've locked in with two.
Bullshit. All right, you guys are both locked in. You guys both locked in on Toaster and Kelvin. Of course, those are Instagram filters.
Hot.
Brian, you also locked in on Hario. No, I'm afraid that Melita, Bun, and Hario are coffee filters. Brandon is your other Instagram filter.
That's great that those were what you used.
How did you know to do that? How did you know to use coffee filters as the alternative?
I didn't. The question, the Ken Jennings did, but I knew as soon as I saw the list, I'm like, oh, those are coffee filters. Okay. That's brilliant.
That's really great. Yeah, I love that one. All right, I feel good about my lead, Dunaway.
You should. Scott going into round two with 3 points. Brian at 0. Let's go to question number 2.
You don't have to say it like that.
I do. I have to say it like that. Former names of U.S. state capitals. So these are 6 state capitals. And which of these have the correct original name? St. Paul, originally known as Pig's Eye. Augusta, known as Gay Head. Helena was Last Chance. Tallahassee was Alligator. Boise was Squash Town. And Phoenix was Swilling's Mill. Which three of these are the correct original names of these state capitals?
These are all great. I love them.
You guys have locked in. You guys both locked in on Gay Head for Augusta. I wish I could say that was true. Unfortunately.
Oh, damn it. Guys,
it felt like, it's like, well, if it was, they would have changed it for sure.
Yeah. For sure. The real ones are, and Scott, you got one of them, but doesn't matter. The only real one that you picked was Phoenix, known as Swilling's Mill originally. Helena was indeed Last Chance, and St. Paul was Pig's Eye. Pig's Eye.
I like that. That would have been a funner Twin City
in
to
a
talk
Pig's
about.
Eye.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm going to ask Wendy how she enjoys Pig's Eye this time of year.
Please do.
See what she says.
All right. 3 points for Scott, 0 points for Brian going into the very last question.
You don't say it like that.
I do. And your last question, going to the produce section of your local grocery store. Which of these are fruits, speaking botanically?
Right.
Potatoes, green beans, cucumbers, broccoli, bell peppers, and radishes.
Oh, I just heard a thing about something like this.
These are actually fruits. Basic botanically speaking,
because one, it's not on here, but somebody had told me yesterday or yesterday, two days ago, it was like corn is technically a botanical fruit because it grows on the outside like a seed or whatever. I don't know,
really,
something like that. It's not on here, obviously. I'm gonna go with I feel pretty good here, but I'm still gonna be conservative. Let's go there.
Good. My name is Scott Johnson. I feel pretty good about my chances.
I do.
Yeah. All right. You guys are both locked in. You guys each locked in on 2. Bell peppers. Yeah, absolutely. Seeds on the inside is a good way to look at these things. Because cucumbers have their seeds on the inside. They were another one of your another one of your fruits. And
makes sense.
Green beans, the other one, Scott, take a few more
good
points.
Good job,
Scotty. Same thing. The seeds are inside, right? They're
seeds are inside.
They're edible.
They're the pods.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're more like, I think the seeds are the
potato.
The little beans inside the string beans. And potatoes, nope, tuber.
Yeah,
I'm They're always going to say potato. It doesn't matter if it's right or not.
Yeah.
I mean, if potato's on the board, shade, I'm chicking it.
It's a nightshade tuber.
Are they really in the nightshade family?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Are. Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor who can't have potatoes because she can't do anything nightshade.
It's not crazy. Is it crazy neighbor?
No. It's a different neighbor.
Okay. Well.
Oh, I can't imagine what would happen if crazy neighbor had a food allergy.
Oh, yeah. What would life even be like in that scenario?
Exactly. Yeah.
Real quick here, it's interesting that bell peppers are the way you eat bell peppers and the way you eat green beans are flipped. I guess you eat the outside of green beans. I'm thinking peas. Yeah. Peas are weird though because.
Oh yeah, peas you eat out of the pod.
Versus, yeah. Although some pods you can eat, like the snap peas are good that way, but. I don't know. The food, man. How do we even classify food. It?
It's so weird. Strawberries are a form of rose, if I remember correctly, too.
Yeah, and they're a nightshade food, too, right?
I think that's right.
Strawberries might be.
Strawberries have outside seeds.
Yes.
Although they're embedded, sort of. I don't know how that works. Who knows? We got exceptions to everything.
Is there a fruit?
There's probably a fish that we should call a fruit, for all we know. You know?
Sea cucumber, clearly, because its seeds are on the inside.
Oh, really? Duh. Yeah, exactly. Hey, who won what? How did this turn out?
Oh, let me tell you. So, Scott, thanks to you, Michael Seeberger in Twin Cities is going to be getting a copy of Everhood and Swine HD Remastered.
Both good games.
Courtesy of Judah T. Like thank you, Judah T, for all three of these games. But don't worry, you're not going away empty-handed, Francois Valerie. You're getting Trolley Problem Incorporated. I guess it's a game where you just either drive into a crowd or drive into a lady with a baby. Is that the deal? Is that the...
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking it'd be more like, my trolley has broken down.
Cool, though.
Yeah, it looks all right. I've never played it.
You got to leave or die or kill dog. Okay, so it's those kind of... You know, those trolley questions.
Yeah, the trolley question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very weird. Yeah. Well, congratulations to everyone.
Congratulations.
You've all done great. And that means that Dunaway walks away head down. And that's okay because you tried
to say
hard.
It like that.
Oh, yeah, we do. And look, Brian gave score this whole game today.
I did the entire time. Scores aplenty.
Nobody complain anymore about that. All right? We did
No,
it.
Please just knock it off, would you, people? Good Lord.
Dunaway, the good news is this afternoon, hopefully, we'll have some a little bit of Unreal Tournament going on, I hope.
Yeah, Unreal Tournament 99, baby, as we do on the Mondays. I'm looking forward to gibbing you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get a call as I'm lifting from Discord as you guys are reminding me that I should be at home playing video games.
That's right. That'll be coming at 4:30 is when we did it last
Yeah, 4:30.
4:30 Mountain Time,
6:30 Eastern.
That's right.
RetroGib.com.
RetroGib.com, GIB, all the details are there. If you've never played before, you don't need anything but that link, and you'll find all the stuff you need and a PC to play it.
Oh, yeah, you need that. Yeah.
That game originally ran on Macs, but I don't know if I can still run it on a Mac or not.
If I have my CD, does that mean I can play it as part of this?
You can
thing?
Install like, it, and you just need the... Patch. The patch works either way. So
Yeah,
you'd be all set, I think, unless it's an EXE file. I don't remember how that patch works.
No, there's a patch for 99. You get a patch for Mac, Windows, and Linux. You can't play the Dreamcast version though, which is a real bummer.
That's a bummer. I like the Dreamcast version. It was all right.
All right.
Anyway, Dunaway, hey, got me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Kiss our butts, but you already beat me to the thing. quick shout out to Trixler's in our chat, it's nice seeing him here. Good old friend of the network and old Blizzard pal and all that kind of stuff. Brian, let's do a news story. We've got time, and here's your little intro for it right here. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
1.5 Big Macs, because Scott can't stand wasting food.
I hate it. I hate wasting food. So my wife yesterday, it's a whole story. We had all the babies yesterday, not just us, but the kids were here and everybody's doing their stuff. And Nick really wanted to try that upside down W version of McDonald's.
The McDonald's sauce.
It's some anime tie-in. I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is either. I've seen the videos or the commercials for it. Still don't know, really.
I thought it was Wario, maybe. They're doing a Nintendo thing, but it's not what
that
is.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Two things. One, the sauce that's the special run sauce that you dip your nuggets in that is supposed to be. It's not even Szechuan. It's like something for this event.
Oh, this one is the... Right. I thought you were referring back to the previous... everybody go crazy for McDonald's because of the special sauce.
Right, and they did do that for that Rick and Morty crap. But this one is terrible. It was so bad. I hated it.
Really? What is it? It's savory chili.
Yeah, and it tasted like the inside of an alligator's mouth or something like that. It's the best I can describe it. It was terrible.
That tells me nothing. I get nothing from that.
You've got no source material for the alligator.
I've got no source material.
I would just, I don't know. Everyone else try it on your own. Tell me what you think. But I was like really put off by it. I was like, well, this is gross. So anyway, we did that for Nick because it was a fun thing. And so we all got McDonald's and Kim got a Big Mac. I got a Big Mac. Nice. Ate mine. Kim's like, oh, I'm full. I can't finish this. I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it? We're like, well, we can toss it. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. That's a waste.
See, the problem is that you and I grew up in an era where you did not leave anything on your plate, and it just got ingrained in us that no, you finish everything that's on your plate, or else.
Yeah,
and
when you have parents who remember their parents going through
the depression,
and bread lines and all that. I think that screwed up Gen X a little bit because you and I and people like us are always like, oh, are you gonna finish that? Because I can't. It's not that I'm hungry even. I just can't see that going to trash.
It's just I don't want to see you throw that away. It's like, what do you we have to deprogram ourselves with that.
I was told there were Chinese kids who were starving. That's what I was told.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then Bob Geldof told us it wasn't even China.
That's true. It was Africa the whole time.
It was Africa the whole time.
Well, anyway, here's your quick story.
They were in Ethiopia the whole time.
Another brick in the wall. Let's see. 1.5, or no, sorry, that's the Big Macs. One of the world's smallest fish, if ever found, makes a sound as loud as a gunshot. Would you like to hear this?
Oh, you have a sound? You have audio?
I do.
Yes.
This is great. This is like a little bit of a Bobby kind of vibe to this. We're going to hear some audio, and I forgot to preview this so I could make sure everything's cool. Let me get rid of the feud thing. There we go. All right, I'm going to hit play on this. This is, I'll say this, is one of the world's smallest fish, measures about the width of an adult human fingernail, so very small.
Okay.
Can make a sound as loud as a gunshot, according to scientists. A male Danionella cerebrum fish.
Danionella.
Thank you. Much better. Yeah. Much better. Nope. 12 millimeters found in the streams of Myanmar. Makes this sound that exceeds 140 decibels. That's a lot. Here, I'll play it. See what we get. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that the sound? Wait. Yeah, that is the sound. I mean, it's not blowing your ears away because it's not meant to, but that's fish in water making that noise.
That's wild. I don't... What kind of gunshot are they comparing this to?
So it's a fair point. The reason they make the comparison is they say if you just take it by decibels, then it's not that it sounds like a gunshot. It's a higher decibel than a gunshot. Mm-hmm. That's the comparative they're using. Now, I think that's hard to tell in that video. That video makes it sound like it's no big deal. But if you could put that fish's noise right up next to your head and you had a gunshot right here, you could hear. This would be louder than this is the idea.
Okay. All right.
Now, whether they just they show that in that video at all, obviously not. That's just a bunch of weird sound. I mean, that's cool and everything, but.
I've been waiting, like, is that somebody going to go, bah! Bam!
Bang! I'd love it if it actually made the sound of a gunshot. That'd be incredible. Anyway, they use high-speed recordings of to investigate this mechanism that creates sound in these tiny, tiny fish. It's a little drumming cartilage in there, little cartilage going, and it's very loud.
Wow.
Yeah, there's your science for today. Hope you all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Steven Schleicher. We're going to talk about a tiny movie that opened last week. Just a little. Little mom and pop indie film.
I'm kidding. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it yet, you'll definitely won't be spoiled by anything.
I will say nothing of a spoiler nature. I promise people that right now, and you can count on it. I will say nothing spoilery about Dune Part 2. But we have some other stuff to hit as well. That'll all come up here with Steven shortly. In the meantime, we need a song. Do you have one?
I do. If you like Phoebe Bridgers or Sarah Bareilles or Gracie Abrams, you're probably going to like this. This is a singer named Taylor Bickett. And unlike the Boomtown Rats, she does like Mondays. And that is the title of this song, a single that she just released. She's on tour right now with Ron Pope. And this is just some fun little light pop to get you started on your Monday. Here is Taylor Bickett and I Like Mondays.
I like New Year's, I like Mondays, I like first of the month. Notebook, paper, wet cement, the moment's never been touched. I like knowing that there's something that I haven't messed up. Cause I will, and I do, and I'm supposed to. I am perfect if by perfect you mean totally flawed. I am wrestling with the presence of an all-knowing God. I drink caffeine even though I always said I would not. So I'm weak or a fool, but I'm supposed to be. That's me. I rush the future, I cling to the past. I'm terrified the present will not last. I see the irony, I get the fact. It's already gone by the time that the thought has passed. I am working on it, give me some grace. I like empty pages, I like Mondays. I like order, I like answers wrapped in ribbon and twine. I grab hold of unknown outcomes till my knuckles are white. I am trying to be kinder to this body of mine, cause it keeps me alive like it's supposed to. I rush the future, I cling to the past. I'm terrified the present will not last. I see the irony, I get the fact, it's already gone by the time that the thought has passed. I am working on it, give me some grace. I like empty pages, I like Monday. Pages I like New Year's, I like Mondays, I like first of the month. Notebook, paper, wet cement, the moment's never been touched. I like knowing that there's something that I haven't messed up. Cause I will, and I do, and I'm supposed to.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Who told you that? Some bald guy?
What the? You've got some kind of death wish?
We've returned from the break. Hey, Brian, who was that again?
That was Taylor Bit and a brand new single that she just released.
Oh, your mic went out. Are you there still?
It did.
You're back. That was weird. You made all the mouth movements, but no sound came out. Tell me,
bizarre. Okay,
tell me that name
Taylor
one more time.
Bickett and her song "I Like Mondays," brand new single that she just released.
That's weird. Never seen that before.
Really weird. I did nothing. I touched nothing. I clicked nothing.
Yeah, Chad. I don't know. Maybe Chad saw something different than I did. But it was like your mouth moved.
You had the low audio on the music coming back. Did you accidentally click something that reset me? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Weird.
That was just weird. Well, anyway, we're back, everybody. And we're going to have a little time with Steven. How do I know that? Yeah. Because he's coming in now.
Coming in hot.
Hold on. Major spoilers. Why won't that come up? There we go. It would help if I didn't typo that. All right, here he comes, everybody. We're pulling him in. We're going to play his theme. Where is it?
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, look who it is. Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Comes on here on the occasional Monday to talk about nerd stuff, comics, movies, all kinds of cool stuff. And that's good to have you back. How are you, Steven?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian. I am good for a Monday.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of the reasons I like Mondays. Just like that song we just heard, Steven. I like Mondays because of Steven Schleicher and Bobby. I like our Monday guests.
Mondays are good. Thank you. And generally, we talked about this before, Ibbot and I, but we like Mondays. Mondays are all right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. We have a different take on the Monday.
Didn't used to like Mondays, but now I like Mondays.
I like them. The day I don't like now are Wednesdays are just too busy.
It's super busy.
And then what's the other day I don't like? I don't like Sunday. No, I like Sundays. I just get really sleepy on Sundays.
I don't think right now. It used to be Mondays were the only day I don't like, and now I like all days because they all bring something brand new. They all give me a fresh new thing to be excited about.
Yeah,
whatever day it is.
Brian used to have that not so fresh feeling, but now
not on a Monday. Yeah,
now
thanks to Massengill, I do have that fresh feeling on the Monday morning.
Yep. That's
now,
right.
Brian doesn't care if Monday's blue.
No, exactly. We don't care.
Or Tuesday or Wednesday too. Yeah.
So did you see this small mom and pop indie film over the week there, Stephen? Or
what film would you be talking about? Scott?
This would be
the Marvels. Finally,
it was made by some French Canadian guy. Made it. It's Dune Part Two.
I'm not into them foreign films.
Brian and I saw it. He saw it Thursday. I saw it Friday.
All right, get it out of your system.
I will get it out of my system.
Will come back or not?
It is awesome. It is so great.
I loved every second of it. I think it is it's wonderful. I'm going to look back. If they end up making three,
this will be another like Lord of the Rings kind of thing for me in the future, where I just look back on it so fondly and strongly.
So a couple of things. First thing,
loved
did
it.
The movie open with Part Two of Three?
No, and the first movie didn't either. It ended with, or no, how did it do that? How did it?
No, it opened with Part One, Dune Part One, and from that moment, I was like, "Mother effer."
Yeah. Well, this one did open with Dune Part Two, which implies three, right?
Yeah.
And he said he wants to do three.
How does that imply three?
Well, it doesn't imply three, except we know he wants to do three, and
we know he wants to do three, but you know, he's wrapped up a book.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, sort of.
The second spoiler, does Paul Atreides win in the end?
Sort of. I mean, it's cliffhangs. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't end like you're done
right.
with two.
It does not all the shoelaces are tied up at the end of this film.
Yeah. I'd
say three of the 14 shoelaces are tied up.
What? Now, what'd you say? Sorry.
Will we see the continuing adventures in Dune Messiah?
I think so. I think he's going to take... Here's my prediction. I've read Messiah. I think he takes a chunk of Messiah and makes that your third and final film of the trilogy. Is there more for it? Maybe. Well, I mean, because things get really weird in those books after this. They get really weird. Like, weird, not... Something happened in the movie that I can't believe they did, and I was sure they weren't going to. And they did it anyway, and it's weird, the thing they did. Again, not saying what it is, but they did a thing, and I went, really? Then it made me think, well, he could maybe do more weird stuff out of Messiah then, because that was weird. That was a weird choice. I thought for sure they'd cut it, because that's what Hollywood does. They take the weird shit, and they cut it out. They didn't in this case. There was a very weird thing left in, and I'm happy they did. But all that tells me, the fact that they kind of left it as a bit of a cliffhanger, in lots of ways that they could easily do a third. He says he wants to do a third. This already made a crap shit ton of money. They're going to make a third. It's happening.
It certainly made more money than the first movie in theaters. Cinema's back, everyone.
I hate that. I hate that headline. That headline irritates me so bad. Because, like, dude, you guys released it at home. It was during the height of the pandemic. You went direct to Max on this thing, or what was previously called HBO Max. And it was there for everybody to get. And theaters were still a nightmare. Nobody was going.
They were closed. They were closed for Dune 1.
Might have been. Yeah, I don't remember exactly if there was a limited thing or whatever.
I think they re-released it once theaters started.
I think that's it. Yeah.
But when people run with that headline, it's like, already pre-ticket sales for theaters are already higher than Mike. Well, of course it is. it virtually didn't exist the first time around.
Compared to free? Absolutely. So much.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Anyway.
Yeah. Brian, it's all thanks to Nicole Kidman. She brought she resurrected theaters from the grave with her.
Well done.
Apparently there's two or three new AMC theaters with her, or trailers with her in.
Yes, I know. The article that I saw is Nicole Kidman returns to her most iconic role as lady who goes to an empty theater and enjoys the experience.
Wow. That should be a running joke until the end of cinema. I love that she's involved in that. But anyway, we had a great time. Our theater was great with this. This is a brand new theater that has nothing but reclining soft fancy chairs.
Nice.
But normal ticket prices, which is nice. They do have the D box things that my friend that I went with, Darren, calls the D bag chairs. He calls those D bag chairs.
What are those?
Those are the shaky ones, the ones that have the whole
haptic. So they don't have that throughout the whole theater, just some chairs.
Like the red ones were all D box, and then the black ones are all just normal recliner.
And do you pay a premium for those?
For D box, yeah.
For D box,
okay. Yeah. And I've done that once.
Are they shaky because of the speakers, or are they shaky because it's been a year and now the bolts have loosened?
They're shaky because they have extra crap in them. Because
rumble seat.
Yeah, the stuff we sat in, the normal seats, I mean, that theater was wired up sound-wise. It wasn't like full Atmos, as far as I know, but it sounded like it. It was great. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome.
Brent,
I love that
movie.
How many
times did you go to see the movie just to see Anna Taylor-Joy?
I saw her in the previews, didn't I? It was just like Madam Web, where I saw as much of the three spiderlings as I was going to see in the film. Yeah. Just the once is all I needed. But,
By the way, that's part of the weirdness I was talking about. I won't say how, but that's a weird thing. I can't believe they decided to do it.
Here's the headlines. Here's the TMZ headlines. Brian doesn't think Dune 2 is worth seeing more than once.
That's how they do it.
That's how you take that. Yeah, exactly. The sensationalization of that. Yes.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Jerks.
I will say that, sorry, haters in the chat room, 3-hour movie. Darn right. I got a refill on my Coke Zero, but I did only drink about a quarter of the refill.
Yeah. I think that's about what I did as well. I didn't feel like it was over long. It was just what I wanted. I will say that I think this is a step up in a bunch of ways over the first film. Everybody always wants to say which one's better. This is one of those cases where it really doesn't matter. We're waiting for the full pie here. This is one third of a pie.
Exactly. For me, it's like Endgame and Infinity War. It's really one movie and you can't really say, which part was better? It's like, no, you have the setup and you have the conclusion, or in this case, the setup, the swing, and then the conclusion.
Yeah, maybe in part three. Very consistent between the two, and it is very good. And if you are like a kid who grew up reading Dune and you thought you'd never see something this cool, good news. It's very cool and makes up for that weird Lynch movie in about 1,000 ways.
Cool.
It's awesome. I loved it.
Well, it makes me curious about
David Zaslav.
Yeah.
It does make me curious about the 2000 Dune series that had
Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, with William Hurt and
that was like the Children of Dune. That was the book they went off there, right? Children of Dune.
They did, but they still had the put your hand inside the box, Paul, and if you move, then I'll stab this little thing in your neck and all that. But I think it was mostly focused on Children of Dune.
Oh, you're right. Oh yeah, here it is. That was okay, all that shit was, they did all the early. I didn't know that. I thought it was just down the line later.
TV's Travis says they basically did Dune and Children of Dune.
Okay. Yeah, their Baron Harkonnen wasn't as cool as the any of them.
No, no, I mean, a lot of it wasn't as cool. And,
yeah,
from what I saw, I only saw clips in that thing that Alamo Drafthouse assembled, showing you the same scene in all three movies, but with different actors and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this list. It is really, William Hurt is the only only name I recognize just scanning the list here.
Duke Leto. He was Leto Atreides. And then you had, we know Giancarlo Gianni, but not from movies like this.
Do we? We know him from, what do we know
Casino
him from?
Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, yes, Man on Fire. Yeah. He's been around. He does things.
Yep.
But other than that, you're right. This is kind of a no-namer.
Yeah. List. And is this streaming anywhere? You can rent it on Amazon, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that.
No.
It's very good, though. And I think Villeneuve, or how you say his last, somebody told me yesterday it was Denis Villeneuve is how you say his name.
Oh, really?
I'm wow. like, dude, you got too many French hidden syllables in there and stuff.
Really, exactly. Like, we'll take this five-syllable word and just drop it down to two.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a
Denis Villeneuve.
He's the right guy for this, and he said something funny in an interview. He said that this most stressful part of his career was when he was making Blade Runner 2049, and they asked him why. He says, "I just was so stressful working with somebody else's world." And yeah. I went, "Wait a minute. Did anyone tell you this is also that? This is
Dude, it's kind of somebody else's world."
I mean, before it was your fair. Yeah.
To be fair,
but not making
he's not making a sequel to somebody else's world.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He doesn't have to play in Ridley Scott's sandbox.
That's true. You've got both Philip K. Dick and Ridley Scott business you have to deal with. Okay, that makes more sense now that you guys say it that way. Because I was well, dude, Frank Herbert definitely is a different somebody else's universe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't care what that guy does ever. I'll just follow him wherever. I want to watch The Arrival again because I love that.
That's a good movie.
Sicario's great. Like, I love everything he's ever done. Just love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else going on? Oh, hey, Apple's making Neuromancer. This is speaking of things that people think are impossible to make. Somehow this
I am excited about this.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah.
I mean, granted, Matrix borrows a lot of this from that, and Johnny Mnemonic as well. But Neuromancer from William Gibson was one of those seminal books growing up that you had to read.
Yeah.
Of course, it's one of those early cyberpunk books. And so you can look at Neuromancer and you can thank Cyberpunk 2029, Blade Runner, all of this stuff. You can thank this book for that. And it's getting a 10-episode adaptation over at Apple TV Plus. We don't know who's going to be in it just yet, but I'm down. I'm down for this. If Apple's willing to throw money at Neuromancer, I'm going to watch.
It's going to be show run by Graham Roland, who did the Jack Ryan reboot and also the Dark Winds show, which I really like Dark Winds. J.D. Dillard, who did Devotion, The Outsider, and Slate. I love The Outsider. Don't know about those other two. And what else? It will be... No names attached, like actors and stuff. But
yeah.
Dude, I'm all in for this. This has been attempted a couple of times and usually get shelved. Because it's considered like Lord of the Rings used to be and like Dune used to be. It's supposed to be just so hard you can't do it. It's like it's unmakeable. Like we don't have the tech or we don't have the right people doing it or whatever the reason is.
Yeah.
Now
it was kind of disproven back when the first Matrix came out, but now it's like it's Ocean's 11 meets the Matrix. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to reread because it's been ages and ages since I read that book and I don't know. I've forgotten most of it.
Yeah, you really should. That and Snow Crash, I think, are that's Neal Stephenson's book. Those are both really good books to get into.
Did you guys know that the later Herbert books, even the ones before he died and his son took over, he sets one of those books, I can't remember which one, sets them 10,000 years in the freaking future.
Yeah.
Well, in the 10,000 years after Paul Atreides. And I never read any of that. But after this movie this weekend, I'm like, I should probably poke in there and just see what the F happened, you know? Because that seems crazy.
I think 10,000 years, definitely going to be some spoilers as to what happened before if they're...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it did make me think about... The one thing I kept coming away from as I was watching this film was like, man, Warhammer 40K lifted so much shit from Dune. And a lot of things did. Star Wars did. The Tatooine is basically Arrakis. Young boy who doesn't know he's going to save the universe. All that stuff.
Right.
You know, you always hear these guys give their inspirations or whatever, but I swear Dune is at the crux of almost all the coolest science fiction. It's crazy.
So here's the big question, Scott. Does this top your love for Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, no, no, of course not.
Let's put it on the record right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love...
I can't imagine that ever happening.
Honestly, I love... I don't like... I mean, they're hard to rank because to me, they're all kind of hanging out in the same party, but it still goes Fury Road... probably 2049 right after it. And then just a hair later is the Dune trail, is this Dune duology
headline.
Like, they're all Scott right
Johnson
up there.
Johnson doesn't think that Dune Part 2 is worth of being in the top movie.
It'd be really hard to tear Fury Road.
No, not my favorite, said Scott Johnson.
Yeah, not my favorite.
Dune 2, not my favorite.
Oh, we've deconstructed modern media today. We've really done it.
Oh, shall we go one more?
Yeah,
shall we do one more?
Sure.
A headline that I was very excited about. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once directors, the Daniels set next film for 2026. I'm like, great, let's find out what it's about.
Ooh, yeah.
A whole story, like six paragraphs worth of stuff. Uh-huh. The Daniels will release their next film in 2026.
That's it. That is the...
Nothing.
Everything,
nothing.
All the meat is right there in the title.
Great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. Love that. That story could have been a headline is what that you should say about those.
Yeah.
F that business. I want some details on what they're doing next because I love those guys.
It's going to be called Nothing Nowhere a week from now.
Sometimes, occasionally, we'll get around to it.
Right.
I love that idea.
Nothing Nowhere in 2 years.
I love that idea. Spread out. Yeah. The last one has to be spread out at different times that are difficult to pinpoint or something. Something that is opposite of All at Once. I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, there's that. Watch for Neuromancer coming soon. We don't even have a date. So
probably 2026 is my guess.
Yeah. If I had to guess, you're a couple years away on that. The Daniels you mentioned are doing their next thing, but we don't know anything about it.
No.
Other than they are. So that's good news. And then finally, Superman Legacy is now just Superman. And also it's filming.
They started filming like 3 or 4 weeks ago, a month or so ago. It's been a while since they've started filming on this.
Yeah. And it's, I'm very excited. But who was the cast member I just heard about? Oh, they added, that guy.
Oh, really? The guy from Aaron The Wire? Carter's yes.
One. Yeah.
He's, I did see.
He's going to play Otis, which is Lex Luthor's henchman.
Oh, I thought it was, I thought he was Perry White. Do I have that? I might have that wrong in my head.
No. I've got the wrong actor. Right. Sorry. Yeah. They did hire him for Perry White.
Yeah.
But hold on a second. They're going to have an Otis.
Yep, they're also going to have a Miss Tessmacher, played by Sarah Sampayo.
Yeah. I mean, this is consistent with the comics.
They are comic characters, I know. There was an Otis and there was a Tessmacher. It felt like there was just too... It was leaned on too much for comedic effect in the original Superman film. So I feel like I've already got a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, if you have seen Superman the Animated Series, Miss Tessmacher is Lex Luthor's bodyguard. She's the chauffeur bodyguard in that.
Oh, really? No, I've not seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've also got Eddie Gathegi from... I forgot. He's playing Mr. Terrific. You know him from, he's the rich guy who funds the space expedition for all mankind.
Yeah.
So
I like him. He's intense.
Yeah.
We've got Anthony Carrigan, who's playing a Metamorpho.
Yeah.
That's a good look for him. Yeah. We've got Sean Gunn playing Maxwell Lord, which I think is super interesting. Just because of what Maxwell Lord becomes throughout the course of the DC continuity, at least old DC continuity.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion, Guy Gardner, so that should be good. Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane, and David Cornsweet as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Three people that I'm at the age where I'm like, I have no idea who these people are.
Cornsweet
is just such a horrible name.
Yeah, Cornsweet's a terrible name. But also Millie Alcock. I know it's Alcock.
Well, yeah, also not great either.
I loved her in the Dragon deal, House of the Dragon.
That's where she. Okay, yeah, yeah.
She stole that for me. She played the young version of Princess Rihanna Targaryen for the first half of the season or whatever it was. I thought she was really compelling and interesting. So if she's going to actually be, well, who's she playing? Oh, Supergirl, Kara Zor-El.
Kara Zor-El, yeah.
Which is interesting because they are making that Supergirl. True Grit story. Mm-hmm. They are adapting that, so I wonder if it's going to be the same Supergirl that will be in that as well.
Yeah, I don't know. But she's great. She's very, very interesting Australian actress. And then you got, like we said, Wendell Pierce. He's going to be Perry White, and they're going to go, Perry, do we need to get a story on this Clark Kent or this Superman thing? And he'll go, shit. Because that's what he did. That's his deal.
That's right. Yes.
Well, there you go. That's all you can eat, everybody. Lots of stuff coming up. Always fun to find these things over at majorspoilers.com. Is there anything else going on the network that you should tell people about?
Hey, listen, it's an election year, and if you enjoy punching Nazis as much as I enjoy punching Nazis, I think people will really enjoy our Octoon Cthulhu game that we're playing on Critical Hit, where we are having our team fight Nazis and Cthulhu monsters. It's a lot of fun. People can get in on this and check it out every week.
That sounds great. Cool. Well, also, I'm thirsty. Well, how do I solve that problem?
Well, you could stay hydrated. That would be one way to do it.
Oh, all right.
Stay too hydrated.
I'm going to do it right here.
Be like a dude in a Fremen suit and stay hydrated.
That's right. Stick a thing in your nose and you're good to go.
Just sweat and pee into your suit.
Yep.
I do like how they never really mention the pee. Your sweat and other bodily fluids go into this suit and you get recycled for you to drink.
Yeah. Plus, you know how my brain works. That whole movie, multiple times I'm going, Llewellyn.
Pee right now.
No. I'm usually just like, Llewellyn Moss is awful close to Anton Chigurh over there. That's a little too,
you're too No Country for Old Men. Leads. Yeah.
Yeah. When they're in the same scene, I'm like, you guys don't remember what you did to each other, or at least what you did to him. That's some bad news between you two. I do like they kind of don't like each other. So that makes it work.
That helps
well.
A little bit. Yes.
All right. That is it for that. Let me tell people a quick update about TMS Vegas tickets. They are just about gone. If you want in, you better get in now. They're over at vivatmsvegas.com. They're linked there. Also at the Frog Pants store. And later this week, I will have the full swag list for people. I think you're going to like it. We've been working hard to make it rad. And we'll have details on what those swag items are probably Thursday shows, if I had to guess. So
cool. And hurry up and get your hotel stuff from the Plaza, because we need to get some numbers from them. And we're a little over a month and a half away from the big event. Holy poop. I guess I better get started on planning stuff for it. Just kidding. It's all planned.
It's all planned. We know what we're doing.
It's all planned. We know we're doing all that stuff. Anyway, so just make sure you go and get your tickets and your hotel. VivaTMSVegas.com is where you can get all the information that you need about official events, unofficial events, and swag and tickets and all that stuff.
All the fun stuff. Check it out today. That's VivaTMSVegas.com. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. You'll find links to everything there. Thank you all for listening today. We're going to get out of here with some music, though. Brian, what do you got?
Sure. I've got a request, Scott, to one of our own. We talked about him earlier. Bobby Frankenberger wrote in and said, as I get older, I get busier and somehow also lazier. Those two facts combined this year to make me late on requesting myself a song for my birthday. I turned 40 on February 28th, and while I'm not feeling particularly old, I've been getting very nostalgic lately. When I was in high school, me and my friends campaigned very, very hard for our senior class song to be Come Sail Away by Styx. Unfortunately, our peers weren't as cool as us, and so we ended up with the same dumb John Mayer song that every senior class used as their song.
Wow.
Anyway, I'd love a cover of Come Sail Away if you've got it. Poetically, if John Mayer happens to have a cover of Come Sail Away, that'd be fantastic. He doesn't. In the absence of both of those options, you can always play some sort of cover of Weezer. You know how much I like that band. Love you guys always. XOXOXO, Bobby Frankenberg.
All right, he gets one of these for 40.
Happy birthday. Oh.
Happy 40th.
Crosses over into the elderly lady birthday song.
Sorry about that, but that's where you're at, okay?
all right. Well, first off, happy 40th. That's a big one, Bobby. That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
As I pull up some notes here that I want to make sure I get. We're going to be playing a song by Morse, Portnoy, and George. And that's Neil Morse, Portnoy and George. Whose names I, the other names I, Mike Portnoy. That's right. Mike Portnoy.
Sure.
These guys were part of Dream Theater for a while, but they were also members of Spock's Beard, one of my favorite bands, Spock's Beard, because their songs are so much shorter than Dream Theater songs. This is their cover of Come Sail Away. They released it in 2012 on their album Cover to Cover, the sequel to their Cover to Cover album. Here are Morris, Portnoy, and George, and Come Sail Away.
Set an open course for the virgin sea. 'Cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on. Reflections in the waves spark my memory. Some happy, some sad. I think of childhood friends and the dreams we had. We lived happily forever, so the story goes. Somehow we missed out on the plot of gold, but we'll try best as we can to carry on. This is what they say. They say, come sail.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Don't forget to bring a towel.